Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday, packed actually. This, live in L.A., is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, free agency's over and the draft is over. We've got Vegas and Fox Bet have over and unders. We're going to do the NFC today and the AFC tomorrow at the 10 o'clock hour Pacific, 1 o'clock hour Eastern. Our over-unders, would I bet the over, the under? Over and under is a win total. Fox Bet, Vegas believes you bet the over. Green Bay, for instance, is 9. Do you think they'll win more or less, or it's a push? You think they've got the number. We'll do that in 1 hour, and Joy Taylor is here this morning. Joy, how are things?
Everything is great. How are you doing, Colin?
Ate an entire margarita pizza last night by myself.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. How big was this pizza, though?
Medium-sized. I just don't care anymore.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm just didn't work out yesterday. Went for a long walk and talked myself into eating a pizza by myself, and I don't care anymore. I need to get back.
You need those days, though. You gotta let yourself go loose every once in a while.
You do. At the end of yesterday's show, we talked about this subject. Brett Favre was on a radio show, TV show, and he started talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers selecting Jordan Love with their first pick when the team has other needs, obviously. They were crushed twice by the 49ers, badly. And so Brett Favre first talked about this in terms of the Jordan Love draft pick for Aaron Rodgers.
I think Aaron will finish somewhere else. That's my gut. I guarantee you this, and I don't know this for certain, but I guarantee you it's got the wheels turning in Aaron's mind, which if that's the case, then that means that there's a chip on his shoulder towards the organization that otherwise was not there. And so all he needs is a reason other than this reason to expedite that.
I agree with Brett Favre, and Brett Favre would know. He did mention that he and Aaron Rodgers talked about it. Now, 26 Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the modern era. I'm not counting guys who played, when they didn't have face masks and played in sandals. 16 of the 26 have played for multiple teams. And three other first ballot Hall of Famers, Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees, will go in soon, and they also played for multiple teams. That's the era we live in. Okay, LeBron's played for a couple, Shaq 6, KD 3. Why can't quarterbacks? In fact, if we didn't have a franchise tag, I believe many of the quarterbacks in the NFL over the last decade would play for multiple teams. Len Dawson did, Favre did, Jim Kelly, Montana, Warren Moon, Joe Namath, Fran Tarkenton, Steve Young. Troy Aikman only played for Dallas, but when he retired, he considered coming back to Miami and was training to come back to the San Diego Chargers. So Troy Aikman was a guy that transferred in college, would have played again if somebody picked him up and paid him the money. This is the new world we live in. People play for multiple teams. Our dads, our moms used to work for one company for a long time. If you had one major job transfer in your life, it was a big deal. Now you move. You're mobile. You may start your own business. You go to a different corporation. So I do think, and I will say this, I think there's three teams, because he can't do it for 2 years because of the cap hit. He can't. So Aaron's not going to move this year, and he's not going to move next year because of the cap hit. But just think 2 years down the road. I can think off the top of my head of three perfect fits. Let's say Justin Herbert doesn't move the needle for the Chargers. They play him a little this year, doesn't work. Next year they give the reins to him, really doesn't work. It's L.A., they're not selling tickets. Rams are selling out, they're not selling tickets. LeBron's in town, Kawhi's in town, Dodgers in town, USC football's rolling. Aaron Rodgers has a house in Malibu. You don't think the Chargers, he'd be 38 in 2 years. Here's the second team, San Francisco 49ers. Garoppolo's been hurt a couple of times. Kyle Shanahan is tired of losing big games. He's tired of being in those Super Bowls as a head coach or a coordinator and losing leads. Aaron played at Cal, house in Malibu again. 49ers in 2 years. Garoppolo gets hurt or underachieves. Contract's over. Boom. How about the Saints? Drew Brees plays this year, then they segue into either Jameis Winston next year or Taysom Hill. Sean Payton's like, yeah, that's not working for me. Boom, Aaron Rodgers with Sean Payton. So those are three right off the top of my head that make complete and total sense for Aaron Rodgers. He'll be 38 as long as he stays healthy. He's a smart guy. He eats right, takes care of his body. If he doesn't have another collarbone surgery, Chargers, Niners, Saints, in a second. I mean, and by the way, Brady to Tampa, if I'd have said that 2 years ago, you would have said I'm an idiot. You may still say that, but there's going to be stuff that opens up. Here's the other thing Favre talked about in terms of drafting Jordan Love instead of a playmaker.
He was, let's just say, surprised that that they went in that direction. And I'm not surprised that he reached out to Jordan, being in a similar situation himself 15 years ago. And we had a great relationship in spite of what he was basically caught up in the middle of a hornet's nest, if you will. I don't foresee that happening here.
So let me just address this. People look at Jordan Love as bad news for Aaron Rodgers. Take the telescope and turn it around. If Aaron Rodgers, and we know he's been frustrated before by people in the organization, in 2 years, if Aaron Rodgers is done and can get out, you know why? What would have to happen for the Packers to be willing to do it? Jordan Love's good. Aaron Rodgers should embrace Jordan Love, mentor Jordan Love, teach him the little secrets about playing quarterback. Don't see Jordan Love as a liability. See him as an ally. If Jordan Love can be mentored, supported by Aaron Rodgers, he can leave Wisconsin, go play in L.A., San Francisco, New Orleans, a better fit perhaps with a roster, a city, a sensibility, a coach. This is the classic, turn the telescope to the other side. The Packers would be much more willing to let Aaron go if inexpensive Jordan Love was entering the third year and was succeeding, was good in preseason, was good in occasional backup roles. So, and I think Aaron's smart enough to see this, that he's going to be 38. The closer Jordan Love is to taking over the reins, the more willing Green Bay would be to say, yeah, we'll save $15 million, $20 million a year on quarterback. We can go get a free agent or two. So all this, to me, I would support Aaron Rodgers if he's mobile. I've been mobile. What kind of hypocrite would I would be if I didn't support an athlete who was mobile? Number one. And number two, I think Aaron's got a right to be ticked off. I understand what Green Bay was trying to do, get more physical. They got pushed around by San Francisco twice. But all this stuff could end up very good for the Packers, very good for Aaron Rodgers, and very good for the Chargers, 49ers, or Saints down the road. Let me shift to this. Two stories today on quarterbacks who used to be franchise quarterbacks. Jameis Winston is going to make $1 million a year. Jameis Winston, a few years ago, he's only 26 and healthy, was making a lot of money. He is now potentially number three quarterback for New Orleans. And the Bengals have released Andy Dalton. He's 32 with a winning record, 4 playoff appearances. Why are they out of work? Marcus Mariota, by the way, also. Young, talented, Tennessee moved on. Tampa Bay Winston moved on. Cincinnati moved on. Why? Because quarterback is just too good now. You have to move on. Let me give you an example. Now, you're not going to remember a lot of these. But the NFL now is such big business. You can't be average at quarterback. When I was a kid growing up, Kenny Anderson played for the Bengals from 1971 to 1986. They just stayed with him. He was in 6 playoff games in 15 years. They just stayed with him. NFL wasn't big business. He was good enough. Cleveland stayed with Brian Sipe, 1974 to 83. He made 1 playoff game and lost it. They just stayed with him. He was good enough. St. Louis Cardinals, Jim Hart, 1966 to 1983. two playoff games, never won one. Gus just stayed with him. It was okay back then. It was okay to just stay with average. For two reasons. Number one, the NFL wasn't nearly as big a business. You were 500, the turnstiles, people were going to the games, cable TV wasn't around, draft was marginally televised, they didn't have a combine. You could just stay with average. Jim Hart was a nice guy, Brian Sight was a nice guy, Kenny Anderson, good enough. Good enough. And secondly, college football was not furnishing the NFL with four new starting quarterbacks every year. I mean, guys like Drew Locke, who I'm like 50-50 on. At the end of last year, I'm like, hell, Drew Locke's going to make it. I was out on Josh Allen. Oh, my God, he got to the playoffs. I mean, I like Sam Darnold, but a lot of these guys, Lamar Jackson, I was like, it's a project. Not really. Playoffs, first year. What? Kyler Murray, he plays baseball. He's tiny. Oh, God, he can play too. I mean, outside of Paxton Lynch and Josh Rosen, they're all making it last five, 6 years. And that's why I think there's three quarterbacks in the NFL this year. They're going to be the next Andy Dalton. They're going to be the next Marcus Mariota. They're going to be the next Jameis Winston if they don't win. And those three are Mitch Trubisky, Derek Carr, and Baker Mayfield. Stop with Sam Darnold. He went 7-6 last year with mono and no help. Baker Mayfield never got mono, had tons of pieces, and went 6-10. Darnold going 7-6 with that mess is remarkable, and battling mono. So I think Trubisky, Derek Carr with Las Vegas, Oakland, and Baker Mayfield. Because average won't do, and there's too much damn money in this business. And I think Trubisky will be replaced before Thanksgiving. Derek Carr struggles at all, replaced after Thanksgiving. Baker Mayfield will be given the year, but they will move off him quickly if he doesn't win 9 games and if he throws over 18 to 20 picks. It's just not what it used to be. Cam Newton cannot get a job. Josh Rosen was given about 6 starts. That's just the way it is. There's too much money. You can't be average anymore. You're hemorrhaging tens of millions a year if you're average. And secondly, college football is furnishing the NFL with like 4 starters a year. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. I mean, Jacob Eason. Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love. I mean, if you look at the recent trend, 4 of those 5 are going to hit. We have reached a saturation point. So I think Trubisky, Derek Carr, who's not really a fit with Gruden, although I think he's talented. Trubisky, I don't think he's that talented. And Baker, talented, but can't get out of his own way. I think those are 3 guys this year with a complete and utter bullseye on their back.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So Isaiah Thomas was on with Bill Ryder, a buddy of mine, I was walking the other day, walking with my wife, or my daughter, I think it was. Yeah, it was my daughter. And all of a sudden I saw Bill pop out of his condo with his family. And he had Isaiah Thomas on his show. And they were talking for CBS Sports, and Isaiah ranked the 5 best players he ever played against. Kareem, Bird, Magic, Jordan, and Dr. J. Jordan was 4th. But at least his reasoning was solid. And Isaiah Thomas said, listen, when you put Jordan and his basketball team in the 80s, they weren't very successful. He says, when the Pistons, when we were in our prime, when Bird and the Celtics were in their prime, and when the Lakers were in their prime, Michael Jordan wasn't beating those guys. In the 90s, they were great. And he was able to get a three-peat, but he didn't three-peat against Magic. He didn't three-peat against Dr. J. He didn't three-peat against Larry. He didn't three-peat against me. And his solid reasoning there is kind of hard to dispel. Let me just say this. The teams Michael Jordan, and he got a break, the teams he beat never won championships. He beat Utah twice, Portland, Phoenix, Seattle. They never won championships. They beat an old Lakers team, but Kareem was gone. And this is not a knock on Jordan. The reality is all dynasties get a break. Do you realize the beginning of New England's dynasty 20 years ago? The NFL moved the Colts out of the AFC East. Or Brady would have played Peyton Manning twice a year and would not have dominated his division. he got a break. Nick Saban, when Nick Saban came to the SEC and rebuilt that program, he had about 4 to 5 years where he could dominate recruiting because Georgia didn't have their act together and Tennessee didn't have their act together. And Ole Miss didn't have really their act together initially. And Texas A&M wasn't in the conference, I don't believe, back then. And Auburn was hit and miss and running through coaches. And LSU had crazy Les Miles. Now the SEC, Kiffin can recruit. Dan Mullen at Florida is a great recruiter. Tennessee's now crushing it in recruiting. Georgia's got Kirby Smart's a great recruiter. Jimbo Fisher's a great recruiter. Alabama's classes aren't as good. They got to share those kids now. Watch out for Dan Mullen at Florida. Just watch out. Golden State's dynasty. Let's be honest. The Lakers were swimming in chaos during the time they were able to lure Kevin Durant. You think Kevin Durant, if the Lakers were a finely tuned machine, they couldn't even get the Buss family right. There was Jim and then there's Jeannie. They were interviewing second tier free agents like LaMarcus Aldridge and Dwight Howard. Those guys were turning down the Lakers. So of course they couldn't get an interview with Kevin Durant. So the Warriors dynasty, they got some breaks. The Lakers were swimming in chaos. So Michael Jordan did get breaks. Remember, when he came back off of baseball, his primary competition was going to be Shaq in Orlando. And Shaq left and went west. So that's not a knock. Isaiah Thomas is right about this, is that other franchises, Bird fell apart physically, the Pistons got old, the Lakers got old, and then it was Michael Jordan's time. And there just wasn't another great team. There were good teams. The Sonics and the Blazers in Utah were good teams. But Utah was sort of a two-man team. Mark Eaton would, you know, block the cylinder, and then it was Stockton and Malone. Bulls had far, far more talent.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Oh, here's a story. Andy Dalton's going to get released. He's only 32 years old, has a winning NFL record, 0-4 in the playoffs. But Andy Dalton is certainly capable. He would be among the best backups in the NFL. He's a really nice guy. He's got leadership qualities. I don't think he's a great athlete. I think he's got a marginal arm, but he would be like Marcus Mariota. He'd be a great backup. Jameis Winston's a great backup. I don't want to build my franchise around him. But Andy Dalton has years left in the NFL. Good guy, no baggage, works his ass off. He's a super credible guy in the locker room. He doesn't have a lot of it. Marcus Mariota doesn't have a lot of it. Jameis Winston has a lot of it. The it are interceptions. But they're great backups, and you can make a lot of money. Marcus Mariota's making $8 million a year backing up Derek Carr. So now you're hearing a lot of this now. What about New England? Folks, New England's got a plan. Okay, do we have to? I hear this. Cam Newton, New England. Andy Dalton, New England. Oh, boy. You do get Bill Belichick plans everything. I was reading Mike Lombardi's book, and I've touched on it, and one of my staffers reminded me of the passage in the book that when Lombardi first joined the Patriots in 2014, they just lost to Denver in a playoff game. And one of the things they were bad at was their red zone goal line defense. So Belichick became obsessed with it, about goal line defense and stopping the run. He put in defensive plays he did not use until the Super Bowl Malcolm Butler play. He put it in for years and never used it until that play. Belichick's always got a plan. We just don't know about it. And Belichick has a plan now. It's four stages. One, we're seeing develop. Get rid of expensive defensive players and get younger on defense. We're seeing that. They will keep Stephon Gilmore because he's the best corner, in my opinion, in the league. Van Noy, Collins, they're going to let guys go. We are seeing that being implemented. Last two drafts, 8 defensive players drafted. Most, I'm told, in the room, they like him. So get younger and cheaper on defense. He doesn't want to spend big money on defense except for Gilmore and maybe Hightower. The second part of the plan, don't get tied. We're seeing this happen too. Don't get tied to any quarterback. Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer, peanuts. Don't spend any money on quarterback. We're seeing that. The two stages we haven't seen yet of Bill's plan will be implemented. Number one is all this money they're saving, $100 million on cap space, they're going to spend it on offense next year. Why? Because it's what Bill doesn't draft as well. He doesn't. He doesn't draft it as well, and Dante Scarnecchia is getting older, and they're going to have to spend money on an expensive tackle or an expensive center, a pro bowler. Okay? And number – Scarnecchia just retired a couple weeks ago. So they have to go out and spend some money on this stuff. They're not going to have the coaching on the O-line. And the fourth part of the plan, which that hasn't been implemented, 10, 11 draft picks, go get a quarterback if Stidham's not the guy. So he's got a plan. We're seeing two elements of it happen. Number one, get younger and cheaper on defense. It's happening. And number two is – don't get tied to a quarterback, i.e. Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, that's expensive.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Free agency's done and the draft is done. And so now the casinos and the Fox Bet Vegas is very comfortable giving overs and unders. So an over-under is a number. Fox Bet says Green Bay, 9. That means they ask you, do you think they're going to win more? You bet the over. Or less, you bet the under. So I thought the next 2 days at this time, we'll do over-under bets. Let's start with the NFC over-under bets. Here we go.
All right. All odds are provided by Fox Bet. The Dallas Cowboys, 9.5 wins, over or under?
I think that's one of the easier bets on the board. I would go under. I think they just lost really good capital. I think they lost their leading sacker in Robert Quinn, their best corner in Byron Jones, their second-best offensive line talent right now in Travis Frederick. And frankly, they got a new coach and a new coordinator, so that's an easy one, under.
New York Giants, 6.5 wins, over or under?
It's close to a push, but I would take the under because new coaches and new coordinators. Also, they've only won more than 7 games once since 2013, and here's the other thing. Their schedule's tough. They're going to face the AFC North. Okay. Pittsburgh's defense, Baltimore's defense, Cleveland's defense. They're also going to face the NFC West, Seattle's defense, Aaron Donald and the Rams, San Francisco's defense. I think the under on the Giants. Under.
Philadelphia Eagles, 9.5 wins, over or under?
Over. First of all, I think they had a sneaky good acquisition in wide receiver Marquise Goodwin. They picked up one of the NFL's best corner, Darius Slay. They also drafted a receiver, Jalen Reagor from TCU, and they kept both coordinators. So I think they should be favored in their division. I think Philadelphia feels like a 10 or an 11-win team. They cannot possibly have the injuries. It's not possible to have the injuries they felt with. They won, 9 games last year, and they were injury-riddled on their O-line, their secondary, and their receiving core.
The Washington Redskins, 5 wins, over, under, or push?
This feels like an obvious over. First of all, Ron Rivera has never won less than 5 games in a season. And they have quietly, their defense is top 3rd in the NFL. It's going to get better. A, you're going to go from Jay Gruden, an offensive guy, to Ron Rivera, a defensive guy. They drafted Chase Young, and they also went and got Kendall Fuller and Ronald Darby at corners and Thomas Davis at linebacker. This is going to be a top 6 or 7 defense in the NFL if Chase Young is as good as we think. They're going to win more than 5 games. And Dwayne Haskins, if he's just serviceable, they'll win games.
The Chicago Bears, 8 wins, over, under, or push?
Feels like the perfect number. I wouldn't bet it. It's a push. 8 games is what they feel like. They won 8 games last year. I didn't think their draft was spectacular. I don't think they added a lot of difference makers, and they lost a couple of people in free agency I like. I think Matt Nagy is a very good coach, too good to be horrible. But I think they'll start with Trubisky, move to Nick Foles in the division. Frankly, Green Bay's got talent. Minnesota's got talent. I think 8's a push.
The Detroit Lions, 6.5 wins, over or under?
I think it's a mess. I think it's an under. I think it's a 5-6 win team. Matt Patricia's struggled. Matt Stafford's coming off an injury, but the division's really, really good. They lost Darius Slay. They had a nice draft, but, you know, I just don't think they have enough playmakers in that division. I don't see that team capable of going toe-to-toe with Minnesota's roster Aaron Rodgers in that offense, or frankly, Matt Nagy, I think, is a significantly better coach. So I think it's, again, a woeful season for Detroit.
The Green Bay Packers, 9 wins, over, under, or push?
To push. I think that's the number. Remember, they went 7-1 in one possession games. You could say to yourself, well, that's because of Aaron Rodgers. Nah, that one possession wins like that generally don't translate year after year, despite having a great quarterback. They also lost Blake Martinez, who was a tackling machine for them last year, and they were outgained last year. Let's not kid ourselves. Very few times do you see, you'll have one or two teams a year that make the playoffs and get outgained. It's usually a wild card team. They were 13-3 and were outgained.
The Minnesota Vikings, 8.5 wins, over or under?
Again, that seems like an easy one. That's over. I thought they added 2 starters in the first round. Jeff Gladney, the corner from TCU, and Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver from LSU. I also think they had some defensive losses, but I think Mike Zimmer's a great defensive coach. So this is a really good, well-run organization, well-coached. And, you know, I mean, Kirk Cousins, say what you want, he wins a lot. He may not win a lot of big games, but he wins a lot of games. This is an easy over for me. Minnesota is a 9 or a 10 win team.
The Atlanta Falcons, 7.5 wins, over or under?
I would say they're at that number. I'd probably bet the under. Like the owner, like the quarterback, but this is what they become, kind of 7-9, 8-8, it feels like. I also think the division is significantly better, so I would say under 7.5.
The Carolina Panthers, 5.5 wins, over or under?
This feels like an easy over. Easy over. First of all, very quietly, they went out and had a great defensive draft. They had a great defensive draft. They also bring in offensively Robbie Anderson, Russell Okung, and Teddy Bridgewater. Those are really good players. So they get a deep threat to go along with DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. So they bring in a third productive wide receiver. They solved their left tackle issue, and Teddy Bridgewater has a winning record. And Matt Rhule, and I think this is one of the things Matt knows, Matt's going to make your offense better. He's going to make everybody better. Their question is defense, and they just drafted defensive players solely. So I think they're going to be a very competitive team. This division's scary. I think they're going to be about a 7-9, 8-8 team. But the idea they're rebuilding now, I don't buy it. I think Carolina's got players.
How about Teddy's last team, the New Orleans Saints, 10.5 wins, over or under?
I just think I think they're a really good football team, but that's a huge number. Very few teams win 11 and 12 games in the NFL. Breeze is 41 years old. The division's significantly better. So, I mean, I think they could absolutely split with Atlanta, split with Tampa, and split with Carolina. I think they're very good. I think they should be favored to win the division. But 10.5 is a huge number. I would just – I think they're a popular team, so people will bet the over. I'd probably bet the under.
Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks, 9.5 wins, over or under?
Again, I think they're good. That's a huge number. I'd say bet the under. I think Tom and Bruce Arians, because they didn't have OTAs and because of the virus, could be choppy in September. Their schedule, by the way, they play the AFC West. So that's no day at the beach. They got to play Kansas City. They got to play the Chargers. They got to play Denver and Oakland. You know, and let's just be honest. This could be a very good football team. It's doubtful they're humming in September. So when I get a look at their schedule next Thursday, the NFL releases it, I'll have a much better feeling. But I would say under 9.5.
The Arizona Cardinals, 7.5 wins, over or under?
Again, I think they're rebuilding and they're going in the right direction, but they feel like a 6 or a 7 win team to me. I think the NFC West is just too damn good. I just think it's too good, and I still think their defense is a mess. Isaiah Simmons will help, but their defense last year was the worst in the NFL, and that's facing now Garoppolo, Shanahan, McVay, Goff, Russell Wilson. So I think they're rebuilding in the right direction, but that division's too hard to flip in a year.
The L.A. Rams, 8.5 wins, over or under?
I'm going to go under. I think they're at 500. It's close to a push, but you're not going to push 8.5, so I would go under. Too many losses like Dante Fowler, Wade Phillips. They have a new coordinator. I do like that Jared Goff wants to restructure his contract, but Brandon Cooks, who I was never a huge fan of, but he can play, is gone. They'll need Josh McReynolds to be healthy and play. So I feel the division's good, and I feel 8-9. I think it's real close to the number. I'd probably go under.
San Francisco 49ers, 10.5 wins, over or under?
Again, it's replacing Joe Staley with Trent Williams would give me an over. I think they got two starters in the first round, and I think Trent Williams is a huge get. Arrested Trent Williams, so that leads me to believe they're just going to keep on rolling.
The Seattle Seahawks, 9.5 wins, over or under?
I think it's an easy over. They were 11-5 last year, despite massive injuries, especially down the stretch. So Russell Wilson's won 10-plus games in 7 of his 8 seasons. I think the NFC Championship feels like Seattle's going to be in it. They went and got a couple of starters defensively in the draft. They also got Quentin Dunbar and Bruce Irvin. Dunbar will start at corner. So I think Seattle last year shocked me. They were a lot better. And I'm from the area. I was shocked that Seattle was a playoff team last year. The young players delivered. DK Metcalf delivered. So I would bet the over on Seattle. Tomorrow we will do the AFC over and unders.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
NFL analyst, NBC Sports, my buddy, co-host of Pro Football Talk Live, Chris Sims, joining us. So let me ask you, as somebody that played in the league and somebody that's played with, Mack Brown, John Gruden, Jeff Fisher, Josh McDaniels, you've played with demanding coaches, Chris, and egos and coaches. So Matt LaFleur, now they draft Jordan Love. Do you think Aaron thinks, you know, Matt could have stopped that? What do you think Aaron thinks today about that and Matt and the fact, not just getting Jordan Love, but will it create strain with Matt LaFleur?
Right. That's a good question. I haven't heard a lot of people bring that point up. I mean, one, I would think if I just put myself in Aaron Rodgers' shoes right now, I would be sitting there going, if Matt LaFleur didn't want this to happen, I would think he'd have the power to make that not happen.
Yes.
And say that's a little ridiculous, right?
That's what I think.
Right. I agree there. You know, again, I don't think that Brian Gutekunst, who I have a lot of respect for and has done a lot of good things there. Listen, I'm a little puzzled by their draft. I certainly didn't like it. I would have gone all in on Rodgers. I mean, we're in the era of quarterbacks playing until they're 40 years old.
Yeah.
This is a it's a quarterback that's still playing top five in football. You know, I know he's no longer the best quarterback in football, but he's certainly in the class with Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. He is in that top five class for me still. And that's where I don't understand it. And yes, I think, you know, the Green Bay Packers are playing with fire here. You know, one, they've really empowered Rodgers now. That's the one thing I think a lot of people are losing, you know, sight of here. You know, they're looking at, have they taken power back from Rodgers? Maybe over the long haul, but for the next 2 years, they're stuck with Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Look at the salary cap situation. So he's going to be able to say, hey, screw you. I'm going to change the play. What are you going to do about it? Oh, I'm not going to be here in 3 years maybe. And, you know, that empowers him to a degree, but I still just don't understand it. And, you know, not to give him weapons. And then more importantly, Colin, their run defense stunk last year.
Yeah.
They got run over by every good running team they played on the schedule last year.
Yep.
And to not address that is also puzzling.
Yeah, and Blake Martinez is kind of a tackle machine.
Right.
And he left. So, no, I mean, the wide receiver thing, you know what I looked at when I looked at the Packers draft? They got a blocking tight end, another running back, and three interior linemen offensively. What they were saying to me was, listen, we got pushed over by the Niners twice and by the Chargers. We can't block people. We just can't block people. So I get what they did. I just wouldn't have done the running back. I get the blocking tight end, and I get the interior O lineman. I would have just for imagery gotten a receiver over a running back. That pick bothered me. That high.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think that bothered me a lot, too. And, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, you know, I've said this, and, of course, I'm the leader of his fan club. I know that. I think he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen play. And, you know, I don't know everybody feels that way. But, you know, also what it tells me, too, to a degree, is just they expect Rodgers to make more magic. I mean, I don't know if we've seen a quarterback really over the last 8 to 10 years have to carry their team more than Aaron Rodgers. You know, here's a stat I stumbled across today. You know, do you know how many touchdown passes he's thrown to a first-round pick? One to Mercedes Lewis, who just got there a few years ago. But I think that just tells you about the type of talent they've had around him at the wide receiver position for a long, long time there. You know, it's him making chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what a lot of the times, and he's able to do that. But he's getting to the part of his career where he's not going to be able to do it the same way he always did. We saw last year some moments of going, ooh, I'm used to seeing Rodgers get away from that guy when he's under pressure and he got tripped up, or ooh, he usually throws a fastball into that tight window and maybe he lost a mile per hour or two on that fastball. It's still one of the greatest arms in the league. But again, we are, this is a human and we're starting toward the down part of his career. There's no doubt about that. But I just think we're a far ways off before we're having the conversation of let's replace him and start thinking about the future.
Now, here's where I'll push back. I tell my kids this all the time. Don't be a victim. Our problems are not everybody else's problems. Is that his dad's called him out, a brother's called him out, teammates have called him out. There was the article where the GM called him out. Couldn't I say, listen, Aaron's talented, but yeah. I don't see people calling out Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Some of this is on Aaron, that he's a little prickly, can be absolutely sure. Condescending, and he's got to own some of his own baggage here.
Well, listen, they're not, you know, hey, all these guys, Brady and Brees, they're a pain in the butt too. I can promise you that. They have so, but you're right. I understand exactly what you're saying. Rodgers is prickly. You know, he is a little sensitive, or you know, hears what people are saying and kind of carries that baggage around with him. Definitely, I don't deny that to one degree. I think, you know, the big thing is there, though, where I would just say is, again, it's the culture that's set up by the Saints and Patriots that don't allow it. You know, Green Bay is a culture of we draft a quarterback, we treat him like God, and we just let him run the team. And they did that with two quarterbacks in a row, with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. It's kind of the way the organizations run. Hey, there's no owner in the building. So these guys become bigger than life in a place like Green Bay. Where in New England, hey, we know the culture is set forth first by Bill Belichick, and then the same with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. You know, they're happy a lot of the time because they got good talent, and every time they drop back to pass, they look and they go, damn, there's somebody wide open. There we go again. That's great. You know, Rodgers hasn't always had that luxury, and I think that's where, you know, there's a little difference there, I guess, in just the cultures they were raised in, I'm saying, and Aaron Rodgers has to be kind of his own entity as compared to Brees and Brady, which are seem more organizational-type guys. But from Aaron Rodgers, he took over from Brett Favre, and it's a little like Peyton Manning. From day one, he was, hey, Aaron, you need to throw for 350 and three touchdowns or we can't win the football game. And that's kind of the way the culture has been up in Green Bay. And, of course, that breeds a little bit of an ego and a guy that, you know, of course, is, you know, wants to run the show a little bit more.
No, I think it's a fair point. The culture is quarterback save us. It's not a free agent destination. You're going to have to, you're going to be a little bit of a star. And let's throw this out there. It's the smallest NFL market. It's like Shaq in Orlando. So when you have this sort of, you know, a belief system, which is we can't get free agents, you really are going to run the franchise. And, you know, and it's also a small town. And you so, you know, Damon Stoudemire told me this years ago. He loved playing in Toronto. He goes, I just disappear. We got a baseball team. We got a CFL team. We got an NBA team. It's an international city. He goes, I put a hat on. I disappear. I go to Portland. He goes, you know, I'm an NBA player. And so I think when you're the quarterback in Green Bay, more than any city, you can't go to the grocery store, to your point.
No. No, you become godlike.
Yes.
You know, I think that's what you're saying.
Yes.
You become like you're a true icon of the state, you know, key to the city. You're the man. You're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. Let me shift to this. Sam Darnold and Baker came in at the same time. But last year, Darnold goes 7-6. A, battling mono, and B, with very little help. Baker last year had tons of help, melted down off the field, called out his medical staff, goes 6-10, and was a mess. I think this is Baker's last year. I think they have too much talent. I think he's made too many missteps. I think if Darnold was 500, they would maybe move off Gase, but they would stay with Sam. His traits and qualities would buy him a year. I don't know if Baker has built that equity up. What say you on those two came in as high profile. Others have outplayed him. I think this is it for Baker. I think he'll be given the year. I think Derek Carr won't last the year, perhaps. I think Trubisky may not start the year. So what do you? Where do you land? We're moving off young quarterbacks faster than ever. Jameis can't get a legit job. Cam can't get a job. Dalton's now out of work and he's young. Mariota. So where do you land on the Baker thing and the Darnold thing right now? I've always been a Darnold fan, but I do think Baker's up against the wall here.
Well, listen, I agree with a lot of what you said there. Yeah, this is a huge year for Derek Carr. You're spot on there. You know, I do think if that just becomes a 8-8, 7-9 type record, that they will look somewhere else in next offseason at quarterback. You've said it about Trubisky. I don't even think they can start Trubisky. I mean, if Trubisky throws one incompletion in Chicago, people are going to boo him off the field and say, get Nick Foles in there.
Yeah.
So I expect Nick Foles to be the day one starter there in Chicago when all said and done. And, you know, I agree with you. You know, in the Baker-Sam Darnold conversation, I don't know if I agree with you in the aspect that this will be it. This will be the 1 year. No, I don't think they're going to give up on their number one pick quite like that. But I think there's tremendous pressure on Baker Mayfield. I think out of those five quarterbacks that we saw drafted in the first round of that draft, he probably has more pressure on him than any of them, right? Josh Allen went to the playoffs. You just mentioned what Sam Darnold kind of did. Lamar Jackson, of course, is the MVP of football. And Josh Rosen's not a part of the conversation right now. But yes, Baker set a bar that was kind of high his rookie year when we went, okay, this guy was worth the number one pick. Look at him. He's making plays and throws. Certainly regressed last year. You know, had a lot of errant throws, bad decisions. I think some other things went on where he changed plays and wasn't supposed to at times too. And there was issues like that added to the fact of what you said. There was tremendous talent around him last year. I mean, they underachieved. And OBJ, we know, wasn't 100%. But I think that does add more pressure on him than just about any quarterback in football, and especially now that they've added two tackles to the group. And you really sit there in the offense and you go, that Cleveland offense is really well built. They have no excuse not to be like a top three, top five offense in the sport. So I'm with you. The only thing I'll say with Sam Darnold, and I really like him, in his first 2 years, he's been able to avoid the pressure-packed part of the schedule. Like last year, you mentioned he got the mono. Okay, he came back. The season was over. They were already 0-5, 0-4, something like that, around that, to where, you know, it was almost like, okay, hey, Sam's back and he looks good, but we're out of the race here. And the year before that, he hurt his foot right kind of in the meat and the potatoes of the season. So I've liked everything. Like, I'm with you with Sam Darnold. I've liked everything I've seen. They got to put some talent around him. I think they've gone a long way to do that in the offseason, the free agency, and the draft. And I expect him to be like a much more hot topic conversation next year to be in, ooh, watch out for the Jets. They're building something there. I love what Joe Douglas did in the draft as the GM. And I think Adam Gase has finally got some pieces where he can play with and make his offense evolve around Sam Darnold and make it effective that way.
Think Patriots go after Andy Dalton?
Maybe. I would say I doubt it. I think, I think the New England Patriots and it really, this is their plan. I think this is why they drafted Jarrett Stidham. You know, Jarrett Stidham would go into that group a little like Drew Locke from last year's draft, too, where if they left school the year before, they would have been first-round picks. But we're in the era of when the team falls down, we blame all the downfalls on just one guy. I mean, you know, the year before, Drew Locke led the college football in touchdown passes. The team fell apart, we blamed him. Same thing with Jarrett Stidham. Auburn was awesome his junior year. Senior year, he had the worst pass protection I saw at any quarterback in that draft and had no help. And then, therefore, we went, Stidham, he's not a winner. And I don't think New England gives a damn what everybody else thinks. I think they saw a guy at Stidham that they thought could possibly be that next guy. So I expect them to stay with Hoyer and Stidham. Let Stidham play the year out. If it's an underwhelming year, then, as you know, New England will have a plan to proceed from there on out.
Chris Sims, NBC analyst, NBC Sports, NFL analyst. He doesn't analyze NBC. He analyzes football.
Sometimes I analyze NBC.
good talking to you, Chris.
You're the man, Colin. Thanks for having me, buddy.